Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And this was a scripture that is really personal to me, because every time when I'm struggling with something in my life, every time when I'm searching God for direction and in terms of my future, in terms of God, what's next, what are you doing now, I always go to this scripture, and this scripture brings comfort to my soul personally. And this scripture is a very personal scripture to me, and it has been for the last 9 years. When I gave my life to Jesus, and when someone actually spoke and gave this verse to me, I was like, wow, that is my verse. You know, it's one of them things when someone gives you a verse and speaks and reads out the verse to you, you're like, yes, this is my verse. I'm going to run this verse for the rest of my life. And personally for me, this has been one of them verses where I'm like, God, yes, this is what you've given me, and I'm going to run with it. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm not going to trust my heart, but I'm going to trust you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Let me read that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just a little bit of your heart, but with all. I mean, the word there, all, it includes everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Four things there. He says, first thing is, trust in the Lord. Second thing, do not lean on your understanding. Third thing, in all your ways, whatever you're doing, submit yourself to God. So when that word submit comes, what he's trying to say is surrender yourself to God, so that I can help you. And I love this. The fourth thing, He will make your path straight. Not I will make my path straight. I can't make my path straight. I have no power or capacity or ability within me to make my path straight. You have no capacity or ability to make your path straight. That's why we gave our lives to Jesus, because we thought maybe our ways wasn't the right way. Maybe what we're doing wasn't the right thing. And that's why we gave our lives to Jesus, because the Bible clearly reminds us that all have fallen short of the glory of God. So that means each and every one of us, in some seasons of our life, we have all wronged. And that's why the salvation is so important for us. That's why Jesus Christ came and He died for us, because we could not save ourselves. That's why Jesus Christ came and He died for us, because we could not make our path straight. Okay? And whenever I read this scripture, I look at the story of Solomon. As we're all aware that Solomon was the one who wrote this particular verse. Okay, and looking into the story of Solomon, we all know Solomon was David's son. Okay, and when Solomon was called, he had this passion and this fire within him. He was like, I want to build a temple for God where all of us can worship Him, where all of us can meet with Him. And I love the fact that when Solomon has this great encounter with God, and God asks him, Solomon, what would you like for me to do to you? Solomon could have asked for anything. Solomon could have said, God, make me one of the richest kings in the world. He could have said, God, make me one of the most handsomest men in this world. He could have said, God, make me the most powerful man in this earth. Give me all the wealth of the world. God, make me the richest of them all. And he always hits me. He doesn't ask for any of those. What he asks God is wisdom. He says to God, God, grant me wisdom. God, fill me with your wisdom. Okay? And God fills him with wisdom. And not only that, but God says to him, because you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you all of these things. And well, that brings us back to that scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek the king and the kingdom. Okay? So many times we run after the kingdom, and Solomon could have easily ran after the kingdom, but he runs after the king. And because he runs after the king gives him the things of the kingdom as well. Amen. And when we look more into his story, becomes one of the most wisest men in his time. So much so that neighboring kingdoms and the kings and the queens, they all come up to him for advice. I mean, when the kings and the queens of different countries come into your advice, that shows something, that tells something. You know what you're talking about. And that's why Solomon was known as one of the most wisest men in his time. And as we all know, and as we've all read his story, I'm sure, we find out that Solomon did pretty messy things in his life as well. In some ways, I'd like to suggest this, that Solomon in some ways became too big-headed. Because of the wisdom he had. Because of the wisdom that was granted to him. So in other words, God gave him the wisdom, and he ran with that wisdom. He ran with that fire that God placed within him. But at the same time, somewhere in his journey, he got to a point where he was like, I know it all. I have it all. Therefore, maybe I don't need to fully surrender myself to God. Maybe I don't need to go to God for advice anymore. Maybe my plans have been working all these years. Maybe in the future my plans will work too. And as we all know, Solomon started from the bottom. And because of the wisdom God gave him, he was elevated to the high place. And when he was elevated to the high place, he received a lot of praise. He received a lot of praise from all different people. And I believe that because of the praise he received, it somewhat did some harm to his heart. And that can be for each and every one of us as well. When we receive a lot of praise, sometimes it can be bad for our heart. Because all of a sudden, our heart will now desire the praises of men. And all of a sudden, our heart is now on a performance mode where he's now trying to please men rather than please God. And Solomon, sadly, got to that place where he was now all about performance, where he was all about pleasing others rather than pleasing God. And we know that because God clearly told him to not go to the foreign countries and marry a different woman from different foreign countries. But Solomon does that. So in other words, Solomon was showing some symptoms. Solomon was showing some signs there, okay? But although he was doing them things, he did not think of the consequence. He did not think about the future, what was going to happen to him. But as we all know, when Solomon gets to the high place, and when he does the messy things, now all of a sudden he's brought back to that low place again. He's brought back to that low place again, where he's now vulnerable before God. Where once he had this reputation, he lost it all. Where once people used to speak praises and sing praises of Solomon, where now people aren't singing praises of Solomon anymore because of the messy things he did. And now he's in this broken state. And now he's in this broken place. And he's thinking to himself, what have I done? What have I done? I've messed it all. And then he runs back to God. He runs back to God. And therefore, when he runs back to God, he picks up his pen, he picks up his paper, and he starts writing. Everything is meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I was striving after the wind. I was striving after this. I was striving after that. I was running after this. I was running after that. But it was all meaningless. Solomon had this greatest conclusion and had this greatest revelation that everything apart from God was meaningless. And he pens it down in the book of Ecclesiastes for each and every one of us. And even so many years after his death, that book is still speaking to us. The book of Proverbs. I believe Solomon wrote this chapter with a heavy heart, having experienced all the things he'd experienced, having done things his own way and not been able to succeed, having been failed miserably. He picks up his pen and he writes, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. And lean not on your own understanding. Because our own understanding is no good. My understanding will tell me a lot of things. It's no good. And that's why the scripture reminds us, do not lean on your own understanding. It's no good. Leaning on your own understanding is harmful. How many of us, we've done with leaning on our own understanding? I've leaned on my own understanding for years. So many times we make assumptions in our heads. I've spoken to a lot of people, a lot of star people, and they're still carrying bitterness towards their church leaders. They're still carrying bitterness towards the church they were once part of. And if someone's still talking about the hurt and the all that sort of stuff and still carrying bitterness, they haven't really let go of that stuff. They haven't. Just recently I was speaking to a lot of people and they were saying, like, I hate church because it's that, I hate church because it's that. I'm saying, it's not a church, it's people. People have done you wrong. It's nothing to do with church, it's people. It's nothing to do with God. People say, I don't go to church, I don't believe in God because it's in the church. No, it's nothing to do with church, it's to do with people. It's nothing to do with God. God is a loving God. Amen. God is a loving God. That's it. He loves us. Regardless of whatever our state, He loves us. He wants to heal us. He wants to provide us. He wants to be there for us. It's us. We're the ones who run away from God. We're the ones who drift away from God. Like Solomon, when we need something, we run to God. God, please change my life. When God gives it to us, we forget about God. And sadly, that is the generation today. And Solomon, when God gave him the wisdom, he was like, yes, God, I'm going to use this gift to serve you. But along the journey, he used that gift to serve himself. He used that gift for his own gain. And the gifts that God has given us, let it not go to waste. The gift God has given me, I don't want it to go to waste. I'm saying to God, God, use my life. God, please use my life. God, please do something amazing in my life so that I can change people around me. God, please show me. God, please reveal the truth to me so that whenever I'm standing in front of people and they're asking me loads of questions, I want to answer them. I want to tell them the truth. I want to give them the truth. God, please use my life for your kingdom. And I don't know where we are in our journey, but I want to ask us this thing. Do you know yourself? Do you really know yourself? Do you know what drains you emotionally? Do you know what fills your emotional tank? Are you running with a vision? Or are you running without a vision? Am I running with a vision? Or am I running without a vision? Because so many years, personally for me, I spent a lot of time with people who were draining me emotionally. And I was involved in a lot of things that was draining me emotionally. And God spoke to me and God said to me, minimize the life-sucking people and maximize the life-giving people. Amen? Minimize the life-sucking people and maximize the life-giving people. Do you know what I mean by life-sucking people? Who only phone you when they want something. Who only phone you when they need something. And being a Christian, a good Christian, you want to say yes to everything. But saying yes to everything, it's no good. Because the only person who's been drained emotionally is you. The only person whose emotional tank is being emptied is you. And when your emotional tank is empty, you are more likely to burn out. And when you burn out, next thing you know, you leave God. You start blaming God. You start blaming church. I've met a lot of people, and it's nothing to do with the church. It's nothing to do with the God. It's their passion, but they did not know themselves well. They were very less intentional about how and what drained them emotionally and what filled their emotional tank. And it's taken me a while. I'm going to be really, really honest. It's taken me a while. I think this last 2 years has been a good 2 years for me. Before that, I was running around like a headless chicken. And I had to see God like Solomon did. Solomon did all the things, but finally he had to get back to that place of lowness. Because when we're in that high place, the pride gets in our hearts. The pride hits us so hard that we don't listen to other people. We don't listen to other people's advice. We don't listen to other people's opinion. We don't listen to other people. It's my way or no way. And sadly, I believe Solomon was in that place as well. You know, he wasn't willing to listen to anybody. He wasn't willing to listen to any other prophet. He did his own thing. He married whoever he wanted. He had a lot of wives. He did his own thing. But to start with, he was a God-fearing man. He had reverence in his heart. But along the journey, the fame hit him hard. The praises of men hit him hard. The acceptance hit him hard. He forgot himself. He forgot what drained him emotionally. He forgot what filled his tank emotionally. And I believe it's so important for us to know ourselves. What fills your emotional tank? Where are you spending your time? Where are you spending your time? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Or are you doing what other people want you to do? I had to ask myself that question. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Or am I doing what people want me to do? Are we pleasing God? Or are we pleasing people? Second thing God challenged me was on this. Be a lifelong learner. Solomon started as a lifelong learner. But along the journey, the learning stopped for him. Because when you get to that place where you're like, I know it all, I have it all, you don't listen to people. You don't. Ministry is hard, man. Whoa. I mean, I'm telling you, the amount of times I'm trying to sleep, but I can't sleep. Because things are hitting me in my head. I'm like, man, oh God, I want to see this happening. I want to see that happening. Why is it not happening? When you carry that responsibility with you, man, it's like a burden. You can't let go of it. It's your responsibility. When you have that, when God places that passion in your heart, you can't sleep. You want to pray. Nehemiah couldn't sleep. When he saw the people suffering, he said, oh, I can't sleep. I'm seeking God. When you have that passion in you, you can't, like, come on. It's just, you pray for people. When you have that passion in you, you pray for people. When you have that passion in you, you just don't walk past a hurting man. You pray for that hurting man, even though you don't talk to that hurting man. Something changes inside of you. And if that change hasn't happened inside of you yet, you need to see God and say to God, God, have I got your heart yet? Because God's heart goes out to all the broken and hurting people of Doncaster. It really does. Be a lifelong learner. And I ask myself these questions. Now, this is the questions, okay? And I ask myself these questions. There are 8 questions I've wrote down. Okay, first question I ask myself is this. Am I open to other people's ideas? Am I open to other people's ideas? Second thing, do I listen more than I talk? I always struggle with this. But I've written myself that anyway, just so that I can go back and reflect. Do I listen more than I talk? Okay, first thing was, am I open to other people's ideas? Second thing, do I listen more than I talk? Third thing, am I open to changing my opinion based on new information? That's a tough one. Number 4, do I openly admit when I'm wrong? Do I openly admit when I'm wrong? Because we always want to have the last say, don't we? Especially in an argument. We always want to have the last say. It's that drop the mic, you know? Someone drops the mic, says the last word, drop the mic. The other person picks you up, says something, drop the mic. It goes and on and on and on and on and on. You know, I've realized with the marriage, the less you speak, the better it is. Speak the better it is, okay? You always win. Do I observe before acting on a situation? Do I observe before acting on a situation? Number 6. Am I willing to ask questions that will expose my ignorance? Sometimes I don't ask questions because I think I don't, you know, it's a stupid question. You know, I don't want to look stupid. And I'm pretty sure, you know, when I'm working with Andrew, like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, he's really good with mechanics and all tools and everything. And sometimes he asks me to get something and I'm like, I don't know what he's asking, man. And I don't even ask him, well, like, what's that? Because I don't want to look stupid in front of him. You know what I mean? But it's just, you don't learn. You don't learn. And am I willing to ask a question that will expose my ignorance? Because I've learned now, even you may think you sound stupid, you look stupid, you still ask. And no question is stupid, really. A question is a question. End of. No question is stupid. But sometimes we think that it's a stupid question and we don't ask. And number 7, am I open to doing things in a way which I haven't done before? And last but not the least, do I act defensive when being criticized, or do I listen openly for truth? So these are the things I've now, you know, I go back and I look at them, and it helps me. I'm a lifelong learner, and sometimes when I do a self-assess and I look at all of this, I'm like, man, I struggle with this. We always say that, oh, you need to be a lifelong learner, but when it comes to actually putting it into practice, we all struggle. I struggle, you know, because personally, I'm a good learner, I think, but when other people comes and tries to correct me and tells me something, then that shows, are you a really good learner or not? That shows, are you a really good learner or not? And number three, be a dreamer.
Yes.
Be a dreamer. I believe it's important for us to have a vision, to dream big. To dream big, because without a vision, you will have no determination within you. Without a vision, you will have no motivation in you to get out and to do what you do for the kingdom. Okay, let's keep dreaming. The day we stop dreaming is the day we've died. Honestly. The day you stop dreaming is the day you've died. Because life without vision is no life. Your vision is your life. And God gives us that vision. Amen. And last but not the least, we need to be a leader. We need to be a leader. In other words, we need to lead our lives well. Not perform well. Seen people perform. I've performed well. You know, I'm done with that. I want to live well. Not only that, I want to lead well as well. First and foremost, I'm not worried about leading others. I'm worried about leading myself. I want to lead myself well. I want to have the strict discipline where I'm devoted to the word of God, where I'm devoted to prayer. I can't lead others if I'm not leading myself. I can't tell people about Bible if I'm not reading the Bible myself. I can't preach to the choir about praying if I'm not praying to God myself. I can't talk about worship if I'm not worshiping God myself. It starts with you. It starts with me. It's so easy for me to stand there and preach and say things. But the only person I'm fooling is myself if I'm not doing it. The only person you're fooling is yourself if you're not doing it. Solomon's relationship with God was becoming fragile. It was becoming so fragile that he didn't even realize what he was doing. And how is your relationship with God like today? Is it fragile or is it strong? Your relationship with God should be strong. My relationship with God should be strong. Even if I've got no strength within me, I need to hold on to him because, you know, he's the only one we've got. He's the only one that gives us life. Solomon picks up his pen after having experienced all of these things and doing all these things, and he begins to write Ecclesiastes. He begins to write Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Man, you need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not trust in your own heart. You need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust your heart. Discipline your heart to trust God. That's what it means. Discipline your heart to trust God. Don't trust your heart, but discipline your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart means disciplining yourself. With all your heart means surrendering yourself. With all your heart means picking up the Bible when you don't want to pick up the Bible. With all your heart means telling your flesh, listen, you don't want to pray, I'm dragging you to the prayer closet. You are going to pray. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. As long as your spirit is willing, you're winning. Amen. As long as my spirit is willing, I'm winning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Discipline your heart. Lean not on your understanding. Don't listen to yourself. Solomon said, I've done with listening to myself. I've listened to myself for years. And it got me to no good place. And that's why I'm done with listening to myself. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. And last but not least, he goes, in all your ways, not just some ways, in not just some of your ways, don't half give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus fully. Don't half surrender to God. Surrender fully to God. Don't put your foot on one camp and your another foot on another camp. Oh, you're just like, come on, man. Do not. Last one on there, he said, make your path straight. He will make your path straight. And if you haven't surrendered yet, the path's not going to be straight. Because we haven't surrendered yet. If I haven't surrendered myself to God, my path's not going to be straight because I haven't surrendered yet. It's no good praying all day, all night long if you haven't surrendered to God. It's no good for me to, you know, cry out to God all day long and yet go out and do the same thing I was doing. I need to surrender my ways to God. And I believe that's where Solomon was when he wrote all these verses. And I thank God for Solomon. Because of his words, we too can learn. Amen? Because of his words, we too can run with a vision. Because of his words, we too can know ourselves. Because of his words, we too can be a lifelong learner. Because of his words, we too can be a dreamer. Because of his words, we too can be a leader.